Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Chaser Report is recorded on Gadigal land.
Striving for mediocrity in a world of excellence, this is The Chaser Report.
Hello, I'm Charles Firth and welcome to The Chaser Report. And today we have very special guest, Henry Naylor, renowned playwright and also complete sort of dickhead, really.
With the emphasis on the latter more than the former, I think. Yeah, but yes.
Now, Henry is based in England. He has had a long career writing satires, dating back to like Les Smith and Jones and Not the 9 o'clock News. Really classic sort of comedy is where he started.
Yeah, and Spitting Image is my big one. I mean, I thought that was something. As a satirical man yourself, I think that was one of my favourite shows to do. It was great writing about the week's politicians on a Tuesday and putting it on air on a weekend and sort of being able to see your work that quickly. Because I think one of the problems with TV is very often you write something in March and it goes out in November and you've no idea what you're trying to achieve. But there's something beautiful about immediacy of doing Spitting Image, which I'm sure you Chaser boys know all about.
Yes, indeed. But so I should probably explain. The reason why we got Henry on was because when I first reached out to him, Liz Truss was about to become Prime Minister, and I thought, why don't we get somebody on who can tell us about this new Prime Minister? It'll be perfect. We can talk about it. But by the time we've actually recorded this interview, not only has Liz Truss, been Prime Minister, she's also no longer Prime Minister, which is a bit of a problem.
I know.
So what happened to her?
Nobody knows. She's just crawled into a hole somewhere and disappeared. I mean, it's absurd, isn't it? We've had three Prime Ministers and two monarchs in the space of 2 months. It's an amazing, ridiculous football score. You know, I'm sure sort of like, you know, no doubt Charlie will pop his clogs by the end of the year and we'll get three of each. And the public is just so confused about what's going on. I mean, I think we're almost a bit weary about it all now. I mean, one of the most extraordinary things that's happening today is that that the former House Secretary, the House Secretary who worked under Boris, who is accused of basically being so neglectful that 80,000 people died unnecessarily in his career, under his charge. Yeah. He was finally. Not because of what he did, but because he was caught snogging his researcher inside parliamentary offices. And people were saying, oh, he didn't practice social distancing, so therefore he should be sacked. And now he's going on, I'm a celebrity, what? Get me out of here. And everybody and the Tory party have finally got off their bum and they've sacked him as an MP for going on that show. They didn't care at all when 80,000 people were dying under his charge. The thing that got them really exercised and really made them shove him out the door was when he sort of appeared on the show where he's going to be force-fed testicles. Right. You know, frankly, I think more Tory MPs should be doing that, and we'd find them more endearing if they were made to sort of suffer in the jungle.
I kind of think British politics, correct me if I'm wrong, but my read on British politics is everyone lives in the shadow of Margaret Thatcher. So everyone's trying to sort of out-mean Margaret Thatcher, and she was really mean. And so that's what Liz Truss did, is she came in and sort of said, we're just going to hate the poor.
But all the Tories keep trying to claim a legacy. And that's one of the things that Liz Truss did. She was like, she was like saying, oh, well, we need to cut taxes. That was what Margaret Thatcher did. And, Thatcher, right, whether she did it well or not, believed very much in like the lower middle class worker and a meritocracy and cutting taxes to help people improve themselves. But Liz Truss just did it in an utterly insane way. She just sort of said, right, we're going to cut taxes, even though we've got this huge debt because of COVID. And everybody just went, no, we can't do that. So we hoofed her out. But yeah, so she should be in the jungle eating tarantula
testicles,
having snakes shoved in her ear. You know, she can get them all out there.
So I've noticed British prime ministers have an enormous speaker fees on the international circuit. Like Tony Blair, I think, makes £300,000 per speech. I'm just wondering, like, is that what Liz Truss now does? Like, what does she do now that she's sort of an ex-Prime Minister of Britain? I mean, even though she was just there for about 3 seconds.
When I was Prime Minister, I went to the Queen's the end.
So it's like a three-minute speech, is it? It's a three-second speech, just like a Prime Minister.
I think it's funny, though. Well, I mean, a lot of these politicians, once they've left power, they seem a lot more reasonable. I mean, sort of like I went to see Tony Blair do a lecture recently, there's a kind of sadness there because, like, I think had he not done the Iraq war, he would have gone down quite a good prime minister.
I mean, apart from the war crimes, he was great.
But it was such a big error. It was such a massive mistake that's all people about him. And it's similar with David Cameron. I mean, sort of David Cameron, who
had he not fucked that pig,
basically did the Brexit vote. I think he was very complacent and very arrogant. I think he kind of thought he didn't have to do anything; he would win it. And so he didn't really campaign much for Brexit, and that has been immensely damaging for Britain. And so people are saying he's one of the worst prime ministers ever. You know, I mean, the bizarre thing about Liz Truss is she made her major mistake as the very first thing she did when she came into office.
Yeah, well, I suppose that saves time.
And 5 years of doing and more of doing more sensible policies. So, but, yeah.
From over here, from our perspective on England, you sort of see, you see these images of lorries lined up at Dover trying to get in. To what extent do you think Brexit is actually part of this whole problem? The reason why you've had this sort of cascade of different prime ministers is because Brexit.
I know. I think people feel like that politicians feel like they can't say it because that is what the public wanted. And they feel like they can't say to the public, you got it wrong. But on a micro level, you know, just going into the supermarket now, you can really feel the difference because, like, it used to be you go into the supermarket and every single shelf was stocked. Now it's like when COVID was on, there's certain things are missing. So you go there at my local supermarket around the corner, there's sort of things like I went in yesterday, there's no noodles on the shelves. And people aren't acknowledging this. This is just it's taken as part of the fabric of everyday life. But it's like visiting the Soviet Union back in the 80s when they had food shortages. You think, when are people going to make the connection?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Chaser Report. Less news, more often.
I mean, to what extent are we seeing the actual collapse of a Western capitalist democracy? You know, to what extent is this the end for Britain?
I don't know. I mean, sort of Britain is remarkably resilient from that point of view. We'll probably invade some foreign country and colonise them, which is what we've done for the past 200 years. Not done anything useful ourselves. We've just nicked it.
Yeah, you should re-invade India. That's what you should do. Re-invade India.
Yeah, I'm going to just secretly sneak in there and try and do it. I don't know.
You get a better cricket team out of it. I mean, isn't there a point that actually, like, England's going to be left on its own and you know, Ireland's going to join as one and join back into the EU?
Even be that. And sort of, you know, there's even in England itself, you know, people in London are saying, like, all right, we don't want Brexit. The rest of the country did. So can we be our own state? I mean, I don't know, it's going to turn into like Italy was in the 1800s. There's going to be all these little principalities and stuff like that. I don't know. It's very, very sad. I mean, sort of, there's a feel, there's always been a feeling in England, though, that when it comes to Scotland, I think English people, rightly or wrongly, feel that we're propping up the Scottish economy. And Scotland have always gone, they think that they're propping up the English economy. They're saying, oh, we've got all the gas and we've got all the oil. And I think sort of, you know, the value of gas and oil might become more diminished within the next 20 years, you know, if we do generally shift towards alternative fuels. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting, isn't it? Because, like, frankly, with the Australian desert, you will be the new Saudi Arabia if we finally learn how to turn the heat and the sun into genuine sort of energy solution.
Now, I just want to change topics a little bit to talk about a different story. You might not have heard about it over there, but you know Queen Elizabeth? She died recently.
No!
Yeah.
I'd be very intrigued to hear what you think from an Australian perspective here, because the Republican debate has kind of gone quiet over here. When it immediately happened, there were a few people like saying, well, she's, you know, that's it for the royal family. In the last few weeks, I think maybe because all these other things are happening, that debate's disappeared. I think an interesting theory I heard about Liz Truss was, though, and one of the reasons why she didn't survive very long, was that belief was people were blaming it on the Queen effect. People in Britain felt very destabilized after she died. She was kind of like a fixture, a certainty. She was kind of, and I think over here, I mean, I was bizarrely affected about it. I mean, I would say I'm almost a Republican. I don't really care, really, to be honest. But when she passed away, it just felt like there is so much invisible propaganda. Her face is on every single coin, on every single stamp, on every single banknote. And for that to suddenly go, that's all I've ever known. I'm 56. That's all I've ever known is this figure in the background. And she's always been protected. And I think she always did seem to have a dedication to duty. When she passed away, even sort of Republicans over here were like saying, well, she gave it her best shot. She was committed to it. And she spent her life dedicated to service. Whether that institution should exist or not is a different question. But she did probably about as well as you can do, given the circumstances. And she tried her best. And so there was a lot of sadness. And on the radio phone-ins over here, people were phoning up in tears and stuff like that. And I went to have a look at the flowers outside in Green Park, and there were just loads of them. And people had made a real effort. They'd done all these carefully done drawings of her and holding hands with Prince Philip and sort of Paddington Bear. And people, I think living in London in a sort of like amongst a liberal arty-farty elite, you kind of forget what people feel like in the provinces, I think. People were genuinely, genuinely moved by her. And again, I think sort of like there's a lot of people from the armed services that turned up and they'd laid flowers down and they'd sort of, you know, I think sort of it gives your life meaning, I think, if you are serving this figurehead of the country who represents the country, if you're a serviceman. And so their love for the Queen was something that I personally find quite hard to understand as a sort of like a cynical satirist, I think. It was quite eye-opening to get a gauge of what the nation really is. I don't know if that was the same in Australia. Was the same? I mean, sort of like, do people feel sad about it, or were people going, right, let's move on, let's have a
Republic?
Yeah,
well, the support for the Republican movement plummeted about 10 points in the immediate aftermath. But I think also what then happened was, like, there was just, I wasn't here, luckily, I was overseas for those 3 weeks, but apparently it just got incredibly boring. Like, just The ABC had wall-to-wall coverage of the Queen is still dead. The Queen is still dead. And, yeah, so I think after a while, I don't think it will dent the Republican movement long term.
I met her once, Charles. I met her when I was 9 years.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you, they would have made a one-hour documentary on the ABC over here if you'd met her. That's far less tenuous than most of the people they interviewed. What happened?
Well, she slagged out. What happened was, on her jubilee in 1977, this is me showing my age, she did a big tour of Britain, and she went round a lot of local communities. And one of the things she did was, she came to Barnsley, where I'm from, which is a fairly grim northern town. And we were told she was coming. And so they got all the kids in the area to paint her this sort of Bayeux tapestry style mural. And I was 9 years old. And the there were older kids there, about 16 and stuff like that. And they obviously took control of it. And there'd been a display on the Thames, where they had a flotilla or sort of like a boat display. And one of the things that happened on the Thames was they had a giant inflatable man lying on his back and said, yeah, well, the Queen was at this event, so she'll definitely remember it. We should paint this floating man in the Thames. So we painted this thing and it looked like a suicide victim. And the Queen sort of came past, and you're not meant to talk to her, are you? So she kind of walked past me, and I was in a bit of a huff because she'd ignored me. And then she just took one look at this picture, and she said in this really confused voice, she went, "What is it?" And I was elbowing this 16-year-old out of the way and said, "Here's the floating man in the Thames. Do you remember?" And she went, "No." And walked on.
Henry, we're going to have to leave that there, but we've got our scoop. You had a brief interaction with the Queen 40 years ago. That's huge news, especially out here for the ABC. We'll catch up with you again next time you have a Prime Minister, which I think will be pretty soon. Who do you think will be the next Prime Minister after Rishi Sunak?
It might be my turn.
Yeah, probably
it's
is.
Probably my go, yes. Isn't it? I don't know. I've got a lot.
Anyway, well, next time, we'll invite you back, Prime Minister Henry Naylor. Thank you very much. Our gear is from Rode Microphones, and we're part of the Acast Creative Network. Catch you tomorrow.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.